All right. Appreciate you coming on the podcast, Dale. I know you got a busy busy schedule, so taking the time out of your day, I really appreciate it. Just kind of want to break down kind of like what do you got going on right now? I know you got a ton of different business ventures. So I mean, what's happening in your world right now?
We're really busy in the insurance business. With the insurance business is upside down right now. And historically, I don't think there's ever been anything like is happening right now with prices. And I don't think it's going to get any better with this Hurricane Milton coming. And so people's rates are going up and their deductibles are going up and everybody is wanting to look around for new insurance. So we're quoting a bunch of that. And then we have the holiday season coming up for our Buff City Soap. We're spending a lot of time getting production ready and trying to get staffing. Everybody's fighting for the same employees, and so it's not easy to get that ready.
Okay, gotcha. So what all are you doing? You have insurance, Buff City.
Had Pine Insurance. So we're an independent insurance agency, and we write commercial, we write residential, personal lines. We do health, Medicare. So we have insurance, Buff City Soap. We have three Buff City Soap stores, one in Blaine, one in Coon Rapids, one in Forest Lake. We sell plant-based soap products, and that keeps us pretty busy. We have the restaurant in Coon Rapids, the Chanticleer Pizza Grill. We just opened another one of those locations in Ramsey, and we have the delivery carryout pizza stores. We have property company and got my fingers in a lot of things.
That's right. Yeah. I'm just kind of curious and like, cause you're in so many different markets, so many different businesses and stuff like that. Like how tough is it and how do you delegate your time to each business to keep them all running?
Unfortunately right now, it's whatever's on fire kind of dictates where I spend most of my time. I'm working late at the offices, spending a lot of time catching up on insurance quotes and things like that in the evenings. And then we have a lot of planning meetings and things going on during the day and a lot of putting out fires, a lot of it in the restaurant business. You know, we have we lose somebody, we have to spend some time trying to replace key people. And so right now it's driven a lot more by what's happening than the planning. And I'm trying to convert that. I don't like to be reactionary. I like to be in front of, and sort of dictate what we're going to do for business. And I'm a little bit behind that right now, but we're getting there.
Gotcha. So do you have people in roles where they are hiring employees and stuff where you don't have to worry about that? Or are you pretty much doing everything in all these companies?
Thankfully, I have people in roles in all of the companies. I'm pretty active in the hiring for Pine Insurance. But for our pizza grills, we have they're all owner operated. I only own one of them myself. We're the licensor for that. But I have a GM that does the hiring for that. I have an area manager that does the hiring for Buff City Soaps. So they pretty much handle all that stuff. And if I had to do that, I would start at this time every day and wouldn't stop working until it got dark. But I don't have to handle it.
Yeah, right on, right on. So yeah, I guess I'm kind of curious, like how did you get into like all this and just like, I mean, like what was kind of your backstory? How did you start up and just get into this crazy adventure?
I lost a bet. No, I'm kidding. I started out, I had the pizza business going. So, first business I ever owned was the, delivery carryout pizza place a mile west of here. In the strip mall, and that went really well. At one point, we had to be one of the top delivery carryout places in the state, and that would include the major chains and everything. I mean, we were killing it. And so we were too busy for the space that we had. We opened up a second location over in Blaine, more or less to ease the burden of the kitchen that we had over there. And that took off and that worked well. And so we just started copying that. And then we had an opportunity to convert that into our original one into a bar. And we did that, and that went well. So we decided to do a couple more of those. And then I got into the insurance business because I had an opportunity, and it's I have a lot of relationships, and so there you have to have trust with your insurance agent, and I have a lot of relationships where I have trust, and I felt like there it would be a good fit, and it has been for that. So I got into the insurance business in 07. A lot of that was a result of having built a strip mall in 2005 that stayed empty, for almost completely empty, for about 4 years. And we had an office space in there that we didn't have filled. And the opportunity for the insurance business and opening it up and filling that space was kind of a solution for that. So that's what we did, and got that insurance business going. The soap business, another opportunity that I saw, an up-and-coming franchise in 2021. We had some family that was into it in Tennessee and Kentucky and Arkansas, and we got into that, and now my hands are full.
So when you say an opportunity, like what are you looking for? Is there certain, like, to really invest? I mean, you're putting a lot of time and money into it. Like, what is it that interests you and makes it seem worth it, you know?
Yeah, it's the opportunity for the returns, and we kind of weigh out the risk. The risk is the important factor. The returns, the potential for returns, the amount of effort that's going to go into it, and we weigh all that out and try to determine if it makes sense to get into that venture or if it doesn't. Sometimes we're right, sometimes we're wrong, and every time I've been wrong, every time I've had to go through something difficult, I've always gotten something good out of it. The experience always helps, and it helps me on the next thing. And every time it's gone well, the rewards of it going well speak for themselves. But I learn more and I become stronger, and we become stronger as companies when we don't quite get it right, and we have to figure out how to solve that problem.
So what, have you failed in businesses before? Or
a lot.
what kind of businesses were you in that failed?
Well, one of our soap stores we had in Hutchinson, we picked a location that probably wasn't right. We were new to it, so part of it's guessing. It's a hypothesis, educated guess a little bit. We were wrong in that, took a bath in that. I've opened some delivery carryout stores that I thought went into some old places that were former pizza places, and they went out of business. And, of course, my ego, I think I can do it, and I've not done it sometimes. Just that's how it goes.
Yeah, yeah. So backtracking a little bit, when you were first starting Chanticleer, did you make that company, create it from scratch, or did you purchase it, or how did you get into the first store?
Yeah, that's an interesting deal. All of it, I don't know how much time we have, but it's pretty unique how that came about. My very first job ever, I was 15. I started at Chanticleer Pizza in Blaine, and it was a full restaurant, and a guy named Dick Kempe owned it. He, at that time, he had three restaurants, one in East Bethel, one in Fridley, and one in Blaine. I worked through high school there. Not long after I started, he opened another location in Coon Rapids. So he had four Chanticleer pizzas. All of them had dine-in. And I worked for him for on and off till I was 25. But during that time, I got recruited by Pizza Hut to help them open a delivery carryout store, which is kind of like the Domino's, where it's just delivery carryout, no dine-in. And so I went over there. We opened that store in Anoka, and I got a chance to see how efficient an operation could be. Pizza Hut's pretty on top of their game in how to run a business. Regardless of what you think about the products, they know how to run a business, and learned a lot of procedures and things like that. Did that for a while. I became a general manager and then an area manager for Pizza Hut. And when I was 22, I left that and I became a draftsman in a 40-hour-a-week job. It was a relief because at that time I was working 60, 65 hours for Pizza Hut. But left that and got Dick Kempe, the original owner of Chanticleer, had closed down all but one of his locations. And I was delivering pizzas for him at night, and I had a conversation with him, and I just said, hey, if you're ever going to close this, let me know, and I want to be your buyer. And one day he called me up, and he said, Dale, I'm closing this location, but I sold it. I was pretty fired up when I found out he sold it because we had a deal. But later in the conversation, he let me know that he hadn't forgotten about our deal. So he sold me the pizza equipment. We sold the building to a cafe, and he sold me the pizza equipment, the name, the phone number, and I just had to find a location. And so I bought that stuff from him and looked for a location. And the interesting thing, this is one of many reasons why I believe in a higher power, but anyway, I took a day off of work. I drove around all of Blaine and all of Coon Rapids, and I went to every strip mall trying to find a place where I could open that business up. And nobody, I mean, who was I? I didn't have money. I'd never done it before. Nobody was going to give me a chance. And I stopped at a gas station where the Chanticleer is now. Stopped at a gas station. Called home and asked if we needed anything from the gas station. I picked up a gallon of milk. I must have spent the exact right amount of time in that gas station. I was pulling through the parking lot, and right as I was, there was a place called Roses of Italy. That was the manager or the owner was putting a sign up on the door that said, thank you for your business. We'll be closing now. And I saw that, and I walked up to the door. I knocked on it. He said, sorry, we're closed, and we're closing down. I said, I know, but I just happened to be driving right by when he put that sign out. And I said, I'd be interested in a lease. And he goes, well, come on in. I looked around. It had a hood in there. It had the flooring I needed. It had everything I needed. It was going to save me a lot of money that I didn't know at the time. And I drove home. I was about 2 miles away from home, got home, and said, hey, I know I told you I didn't find a location, but in the last 15 minutes, I just found a location, and that's how I got into it. We started right there.
Nice, nice. So did you purchase that company cash, or did you open up a loan? Or
so this is kind of your world a little bit. I built a house when I was 20, and we did sweat equity. We did drywall. I used to do sheetrock. I used to do taping. We did sweat equity to get into that house. So we sheetrocked it, we taped it, we painted it, bought the house for $79,000. And by doing a bunch of that stuff, we got into it for about $75,000. And so fast forward about 5.5 years, I went to the bank to get a loan, and they approved me. And I was shocked. I asked the banker when we were closing. I waited till after we closed, and I said, hey, why on earth did you give me money? And he goes, well, you have equity in your house. And I said, what's that? I had no idea what equity was. And he said, well, we just kind of borrowed against your equity. So, I thought they were going to do it because they seemed like a good guy.
So what do you remember what interest rate you were paying on that?
I know that the house – I had to buy down to get that to 9.99. I think it was 10.49 and or 10.99. I had to buy it down to get to 9.99, and I was happy to get 9.99. And then on the loan, we were paying 8.5% on my first loan.
Jeez. So that probably makes it tough to create profit right away,
you know,
in the business.
I didn't know any better, so that's the world I understood at that time. And so it didn't make it tough. I mean, it was tough, but it was the only thing I was doing, and I was dedicated to it, and I didn't feel like there was an opportunity to fail. And so looking back, when I understand that you can get money, not right now, but you can get money at 4, 5, 6%, and I was paying 8.5%, now it seems weird. But
yeah, yeah, for sure. And it's still right now, I mean, complaining about 6%.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So how long were you in that first location until you thought, I mean, what was the thought process with expanding? I mean, where were the numbers at to where it would make sense to expand? Or
we were in there about 3 years, and literally we had grown every month, and we were growing every month, year over year, from the time we opened. And we just got, after about 3 to 4 years, it became obvious we didn't have room to expand. At the time, we had a pet store on one side and a hair cutting place on the other. There's no room to widen it, to build out a whole new place, to take on more space. We would have had to find a new strip mall. So the option really wasn't there to get bigger where we were. And so it was about 4 years in that we made the decision, we just got to find another place in the surrounding area to take some pressure off the existing place. And so if you can imagine our delivery area, let's just say it had a 8 mile radius. And so driving 8 miles into Blaine, and the reason why we would deliver all the way to Blaine was the Chanticleer that had closed down that I'd bought the phone number from was in Blaine. And so we had customers there. It made sense for us to continue to go to Blaine. But the busier we got, the more difficult it was to continue to service that area, driving 8 miles, sending a driver out, and they might be gone for 40 minutes. So we found a spot in Blaine. They just built a new strip mall, and we made the decision to open up over there. And that's how we grew, is we kept opening in the neighboring community from an existing store. That's where we had success. We missed sometimes when we tried to go to Invergrove Heights. And when we went there, we weren't as known. We were kind of fresh, and we didn't have the name recognition. And so we missed on some of those locations jumping. But when we'd go from city to city, we did better that way.
Gotcha. Interesting. So how many locations did you have before it just was it just too much for you and you wanted to delegate some of the load off on other people? Or
after we did that first one, it took off really well. And the so I had found a buyer for that business before we ever even opened it. And the buyer that I had found at the time had worked for Pepsi, and they had a strike in New Jersey. He had to go out there to work, and he said, I'm sorry, but I can't do this deal. And so I had to find somebody else. I found a person. They opened, they bought the Blaine store from me. But then when that guy was done with his strike, he wanted to open up another Chanticleer. So we found a spot in Fridley. And so your question was about, repeat your question, because I get lost sometimes.
So, yeah, I mean, like, how many stores did you own before you started having other people? Did they purchase them from you, or they just started opening up their own locations?
Well, somehow I think I was smarter back then, because I always tried to find somebody else to open the next business, because I didn't want to have two.
Mm-hmm.
And I was willing to have two for a while, but I would want to sell that one. Well, that's how we decided to expand. And we had gone, after we got those first three, they went over really well. And so we started to think about the idea that we can franchise this. And we put together a team. We had six people working for our company. our franchise company, and we opened another 20 in the next 4 years, and everybody had a role in the company, and things were going really good. Then we started to hit those hard times in the economy around 2005. We could see it 2006, it really started, and we started to go backwards in closing those. But we had individual owners for the stores, and I had a team of people that were really good. I mean, we developed a lot of things through that team, and I delegate most things.
Got it. So how do you kind of delegate, or not delegate, how do you like decide and when it makes sense to shut the store down or keep it open, try to drive through the tough times? What are you kind of looking at there?
Always my first reaction is to fight through it and to figure out where we're missing and try to improve systems, try to improve personnel, try to improve product. We have to identify what's missing, and so we take corrective actions and try to make improvements that way. And at some point, you always realize that you can't overcome it, whatever it was. Maybe you picked a bad location. Maybe you didn't do things good enough when you opened, and it's too big of a hill to overcome to get through trying to change the people's impressions. And so there's a point where you just recognize we're putting too much money into it, and we're not going to get over this. And so it's not an easy decision ever to shut it down, but it's practical in a lot of cases.
And so is that about the same timeline when you started shutting down the location, certain locations, and where you pivoted into the insurance industry?
100%, yeah. I felt so strongly when I first started to open up additional businesses that I didn't want to own more than one. I wanted to find owners for each of the individual businesses. Once I had that experience, I changed my mind, and I thought diversifying is probably going to help me get through some of these tough times in the future. And, you know, I mean, we're not in the simplest of times right now, and the diversification is helping me right now. You know, the property business has been decent. The insurance business has been really good. The restaurant business, even through COVID, difficult times at first. It was tough. Lost a lot of money when during the shutdowns and the different things that happened right away. But once we were able to get up and going again, the volume was there at that time, and business was good. But right now it's tough, and so the diversification helps now. So I think overall making the decision to diversify has helped me sustain difficult times.
Gotcha. Was the pizza delivery really like bad as well during COVID, or it was first in shutdown, or was that
it was tough at first. We had to shut down, and you know, it took a while for we've never had this. So, you know, I'm 54 years old. I've never seen anything like it. And really, I don't think we ever have had it. They made some mistakes. I mean, government or whoever made mistakes. But they didn't know what to do because it was new to them. And so it took a while to figure out. We had employees, so they made us shut down. We had employees that were on the shelf. Not making any money. Eventually they figured out we have to get money into their pockets because those folks have to eat and things like that. So then they were giving the employees money. We didn't have people to work. And so we were allowed to open then, but we didn't have employees who wanted to come in because they could make more money by not coming in. And so it was a balancing act. The first 6 months was incredibly difficult. Once the government sort of figured out their role and how they could do this best, and we figured out how we could do this best, then the volume was, I mean, we had some record year and a half, 2 years at our locations because people weren't going out as much. And so the delivery carryouts got very busy.
Gotcha. And how are your bars and grills going? Did you just have one at the time or two?
We had two. We had the Coon Rapids and the Maple Grove. It was tough because there were limitations on being opened. But we did get help, and they had the COVID relief stuff. That helped us eventually get through it. It was difficult. Like I said, same thing with the bar restaurants. The first 6 months were pretty tough. And then once we all figured out how to get along, then it got to be really good again. But a thing changed during COVID, and we still don't have the pool of people for employees right now. It's difficult. Everybody's fighting for a fewer amount of employees, and so we continue to struggle with that. And people don't stay as long. The wages have changed, and it seemed like overnight. Whether you think it's wrong or right, overnight the minimum wage went up quite a bit, and then the minimum wage is not even a factor anymore because you have to pay so much more than minimum wage to keep your employees. But overnight, what we were paying people doubled, and in a lot of cases almost tripled. And it used to be able to keep employees by paying them more money, but when there's a shortage of employees, somebody else is always willing to pay a little bit more money, and so it gets difficult that way.
Yeah, gotcha, certainly. So is there anything that you guys had to pivot and do differently to attract these employees?
Interestingly enough, the state is now saying that we're going to have to offer retirement plans for all employees. And that's the thing that we intended to offer. We've been talking about it for a year and a half, to start offering some kind of matching plan. I mean, it's becoming now where you're seeing people that couldn't make a living before being, say, a cook at a restaurant. Now maybe they can. I mean, it's arguable with prices and stuff, but some of those folks will make this their career, and they'll work 40 hours a week. And if they're going to do that, offering benefits is something that helps. But we wanted to try to offer medical benefits. And interestingly enough, a lot of our employees asked us not to do that. And the reason they asked us not to do it was because if we offered it, they would have, and I'm not exactly sure how the legislation works on this, but they may have to take the offered plan, and there's no way we could offer as good of a plan as they can get through the exchange or the public medical that they can get. And so they said it actually put them in a worse spot if we offered the health plan, unless we busted through the wall and offered incredible plan in our business that's not even affordable. Hey, we'd have to charge you $40 for a large pizza, and nobody's going to pay that.
Yeah, because that's for like everybody, like delivery drivers. Yeah.
There's no way we could do that. I mean, it sounds good in theory, but we could offer it, and we could pay it for about 6 months and then close our doors. And
so. Yeah. That's got to be a little bit tough. So is it in the insurance industry, that's where you said you're focusing mostly on right now?
Go ahead. Yeah.
And I guess I was just kind of like, how many people are in that business? Is it just kind of you producing most of this business? Do you have other agents under you, or?
Our team is four people currently, and we're likely adding a fifth person in 2025, and we're part of a five agency group. And so one of our agencies is a little short on help right now, and so we have a phone system. Excuse me, their calls can be directed to come into us, and we can help them out. And likewise, if we're a little tight on help, our phone calls can go to them. And so we have a team. It's a growing team, and we're feeling the pressure of we have more business right now than we can typically handle. And the insurance isn't my main focus, but I'm finding that during the day, I need to spend my time writing the insurance. Yesterday, a gentleman came into my office at 2 o'clock, and he said, my insurance renews in 7 days, and I need something different. And so I sat with him for 2.5 hours, and we moved his home, his auto, and eventually his health and all of it. So that sort of dictates, and then I spend a lot of time in the evenings doing the planning for the restaurants and things like that. So it's in the soap stores, fit meetings in during the day. We have an area manager, and we have a team that do well that way. But it's a shuffle right now. There's a lot going on, and like I said, some days one business will make you pay attention to it because something flares up.
Yeah, it's kind of tough to like time block certain times out because it's just a certain fire that you got to put out all the time.
When you suggested that we do this in the morning, I love it. If I can schedule something before 8 a.m., then I know I can do it, and so it works out great. If you said, hey, let's do it at 9 o'clock, it would have been a little bit more difficult to know that I could have been here.
Yeah, and that's where, I'm kind of like where my prospecting time goes and trying to really grow my business. I always try to knock it out right in the morning just because, after noon, it's like you could be down in New York.
You don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, there's just so many variables that could happen to where it's like when you can focus, and especially I think your focus in the morning, at least mine is like first 3-4 hours of the day, like I can really focus, but after that it's like you're scrambling.
And it's interesting, I know you deal with it too, that you say that the beginning of the day is the time when you can plan stuff and it's going to go, and you have your motivation, you're handling everything the way you planned on doing it, and as the day progresses you lose it because calls are coming in, emails are coming in, and you didn't plan that the night before. You didn't know who was calling or what was coming in. And so then it becomes a bit of a circus and you're just handling things as they come.
Yeah. It definitely, that is the one downside, I would say, to owning your own. I mean, there's multiple, you're holding a lot of risk and everything, but just like not being able to necessarily schedule a lot of things because you don't know what's going to come up and stuff.
Yeah, that's the difficulty.
Yeah. So how are you growing the Buff City Soaps? Are you expanding, trying to get more locations, or
we are? When I got into the pizza business, I knew it like the back of my hand. I knew how to handle every single situation that came up. In our soap business, we're learning on the job, and so retail that way was new to us. And we're learning and we're getting better at everything we do. Our decision for growth is going to depend on when we feel like we've got a complete grasp of what we're doing. Our production's a lot better. Our merchandising and building our team up. I feel like we have the strongest team right now that we've had since we opened, and it gets stronger. So the business will tell us when we should grow. And so we don't know if that's going to be a year, 2 years, 3 years, but the business will tell us when we should grow.
Gotcha. And what are you really looking for and when you should expand?
We need to know that we have a system that we can depend on. So we need to know that we've built an infrastructure. Right now we have a good infrastructure, and it's been 2.5 years in the making, but we just got to this point, and we keep getting stronger. To do something now, we don't have a track record underneath us. Once we've had a year or 2 years of solid operations, and we've built a team with experience, and we have some depth on the bench, That's when we'll make the decision to grow. We have a good team, but it's newer, and so we We need more experience on our team as a whole, and we need more depth on the bench.
Gotcha. So has, I mean, there's got to be some correlation to your pizza franchise to this franchise. Is there anything, or is it all completely foreign?
Yeah, it's pretty foreign. I was a little naive. I thought producing the products for the soap business and producing production for our pizza business, I considered the two pretty similar, and I thought, well, we know how to produce this way. We can produce this way. They're different, and so a lot of different challenges. I mean, I can tell you all the temperatures and the food storage and the food safety guidelines and everything, and I know them very well. We're learning it all for the soap business, and we have a good franchise that provides us with a lot of support for it, but it takes a while for us to learn and get better.
Gotcha. What were some lessons or maybe mistakes that you guys made early on in this learning process?
We copied a group out of another state. Well, we copied a couple of groups. They were larger groups that were opening stores one after the other. And so we saw that they were doing that. We thought there would be advantages to doing that. And, you know, I've rarely come up with great ideas on my own. I copy. I mean, I see something that works, and I want to try to make it, try to do that. Inventing the new ideas is not my forte. I can identify somebody else doing well. And so we saw them doing it. We opened 4 stores in a 10-week period. And in hindsight, we didn't have the experience. We didn't have the infrastructure. They did, and we didn't. And so we copied them, but we weren't the same going into it. And so it was a mistake, and we're still paying the price for that. And I told you it's taken us 2.5 years to get to the point that we're at. Had we foreseen that, we could have opened the stores maybe a couple of months apart, each one, and then built a stronger infrastructure as we went. It was a mistake, but we're learning from it.
Yeah, gotcha. So is that just storefront? Are you getting any online business, or how does that work?
We just recently, last November, started to participate in the online fulfillment. And so now we do get a significant amount of online business, and that's really helped us. We do that out of one of our locations, and I think we were one of the later groups to be approved to do online fulfillment, and that was probably due in large part to us not executing as well right out of the gates when we opened. But yeah, we're doing online fulfillment now.
Gotcha. And so is that, I mean, learning a whole new aspect of like online marketing and stuff like that, or where are you getting most of your activity from? Is it just Google, or
the franchise handles most of that?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. And then you get a certain like sort of cut out of that?
Actually they get the cut. So the orders come in and we handle the orders. We fulfill them. We produce the product, package the product, ship the product. And from those sales, the franchise gets a cut, and then we get what's remaining. And so it's kind of the other way around to that.
Okay, gotcha. So is that, like, what would you say online business, like percentage-wise in that?
It's probably 20% of our overall business.
Okay. And so where are you, like, just packaging them in, like, the back of your store? Or
yeah.
How does
I mean, what we do is when we come in for the day, it's out of our Forest Lake location. When we come in for the day, the orders are coming in the first hour we're there. And they'll come in through the day, but most of them come in the first hour we're there. And the team just goes and grabs the products off the shelf. Gets them all ready, puts the orders together, boxes them up, gets the labels, ships them out. FedEx comes once a day and grabs all the boxes, and away we go.
Interesting. Okay. Is there any like talk of possibly just getting a location or warehouse just for online, or it's not even close to at that point yet? Or
yeah, they're still trying to figure out how they're going to handle all of the online fulfillment, the corporate on this, and so they're learning too. It's a new franchise, so there's been talk of stuff like that, but it makes sense since we have everything, all the resources at the locations. It makes sense to do them there versus having a separate fulfillment center. And I think they tried that down in Dallas originally, and it didn't go as well because all the manufacturing stuff is happening in the stores. And we make the soap and we make the lotions and we make everything in the stores.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. I didn't know that. So yeah. not in all your locations, nothing's shipped around? It's all?
We do some for the holidays. We have a commissary in Ham Lake, and so we'll do some mass production of the soap and the bath bombs and stuff at our commissary, and then we will bring those to our locations to help out. But in normal day-to-day stuff, the stores will produce their products.
Interesting. So is that, I mean, are they like making it every morning? Is it, or how does that work?
Throughout the day.
Okay. Huh.
Yeah. And you can actually, you can participate. We do a lot of parties, where people come in, they'll do a bath bomb party or a soap making party. And, you come in, you have a group of, you know, 6 to 10 people, and you pour soap or you make bath bombs. And it's really popular, and then you get the product that you make.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. So, you got a ton going on and stuff. What's kind of the outlook of, you know, the next year, 5 years, 10 years down the road?
I'm kind of on the wind down, so I'm looking at, well, I say that, and then I've been saying it for 10 years. We want to continue to develop the bar and grills. We just opened our third one in Ramsey, and beautiful location, and it's went over very well. And we're currently looking for our fourth location, and we'll know it when we find it. We're not forcing it anywhere. We're looking, and when it hits us in the face that this is the place we got to go, we'll go there. So we're going to continue to grow the bar restaurants. The delivery carryout's a difficult battle right now, and so we're trying to get as efficient as we can and trying to change some processes and some different marketing for the delivery carryouts. We're doing the same thing for the bar grills, but the outlook for the future is develop more of the bar grills, and we'll develop more of the Buff City Soap stores in the Twin Cities area. So the outlook is just strengthen that infrastructure and grow responsibly. But personally, through that growth, I'm trying to figure out how, like I said earlier, I'm 54. I'll continue to, you know, I put in, everybody puts in a lot of hours, everybody's busy, but I put in probably more than I want to right now. And I'll do that another 6, 7, 8 years. But I want to start to wind it down, maybe look at selling some of the businesses or transferring them somehow. I don't know. I want to wind down, yet I want to grow. It's a contradiction, but...
Gotcha. Yeah. So kind of a little bit of a personal question. You don't have to answer this, but like, where are your kind of, are you invested all in these companies? Do you do anything in stocks or anything like that? Or
no, I
are
do.
You diversified?
Yeah, I do. I have retirement accounts and in the stock market. And so I have stuff there, and I always refer to my property company. It's not, I don't have a big property company. I own a strip mall. And a large part of a strip mall. And so that's maturing. It's been a good investment. Didn't start out that way, but it's been a good investment. So I have some property. I have some stocks, and I have the soap business. I have the licensing business for Chanticleer Pizza Grills and the franchise business and the insurance business. So I'm kind of diversified in all ways. It's the stock market. That's a place I like to be. And
Gotcha. Yeah. So is that kind of, I might be speaking for you a little bit, but like main takeaway that I'm receiving is just diversify.
Yeah. Cautiously. I mean, it's not all it's cracked up to
right.
be, but it diversification protects you at times, but also, it can be a lot. Your attention's everywhere. And, so there's good and bad with anything. You deal with good and bads in your profession, so you know it.
Yeah, right on. Well, I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day. One last thing, any like big takeaways from all of your ventures? Like what's the biggest thing that you've learned? Any lessons?
Oh boy. I think that a person, and I actually gave this advice recently, and actually the person took it, which is rare. A lot of times you give people advice and they ignore it. But whatever it is that you're doing and you're really good at, become great at, because you're gonna do the best. You're gonna have the most success in driving that. And diversification is a good thing, and it can help out. But if you're going to do it, you have to commit in those directions when you diversify. And if you're not ready to do that, I mean, I guess the advice that I gave was find your happiness in the thing that you have and put everything you can into that. That's a contradiction because I have diversified so much. If to do it over again, I would still probably diversify maybe differently. But people have a hard time being satisfied with what they have. And in most cases, you can take the one thing, you can diversify and protect yourself in different ways within that. But it's not always, the grass isn't always greener going a bunch of different directions.
Yeah, right on. You have to be a bit cautious.
Yeah, it's complicated.
Yeah. Did you see like a hit on your businesses that were already running when you like starting up your other companies, and how was that?
Yeah, that's the difficulty. It's tough not being as good as you can be in a business, and when you go through diversifying, inevitably something will suffer a little bit. And I have a perfectionist nature to me, and it's difficult to know that while you're working on this and perfecting this, something else is falling a little bit. And to get it as perfect as you can get it in all parts of it is difficult. And I like the protection of being diversified. And so that works for me. I think I'm ADD or ADHD or whatever, one of those. But it works for me. But for most people, you're going to have your best success being as good as you can be at the thing where your passion's at.
Yeah, just doing one thing and just print and repeat.
Yeah, rinse, wash, and repeat, and just be as good as you can at it.
Right on. All right, Dale. Well, I appreciate it very much, taking the time out of your day.
Yeah.
All right. Good seeing you.
Hey, thanks for having me, Dalton.